Because it's cool. It's a good test. And it helps me shut a lot of people up around here who complain when I say anything good about app, which annoys me.
You were on that. You were definitely on that.
Well, it happens here too when either one of the teams is on a nice run. Like if State gets ranked or if Carolina wins the Coastal or if Duke wins it, it just becomes this thing of like, let's tear down everything. They haven't actually done anything. We actually have it way tougher than they do, blah, 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 blah. And I'm just like, can we just enjoy something, please? Like, it doesn't have to be this complicated. We have so little to enjoy around here in the way of good football. Like, can you just let us have this? It's fine.
Excellent life advice.
Welcome to an ACC podcast. I'm Lauren Brownlow. This week, I'm super excited to have somebody I've wanted to have on for a while. Joe Giglio covers NC State for the Raleigh News and Observer. And NC State has a pretty big game tonight. We are all locally counting on NC State doing its part to give us the bowl, which would be Carolina and NC State ending the season with something to play for both of them. Joe, first of all, thanks for joining me. And also, how likely do you think it is that we actually get a bowl next week?
I think if NC State was playing someone besides Georgia Tech, very unlikely. But since it is Georgia Tech, I actually think they're going to win tonight.
Yeah, I'm kind of there with you. How does this fit in when you are a known aficionado of the Law of the Wolf, known to some as NC State shit, which I can say on here. how does like tonight fit in to that lens? Like, is the Law of the Wolf applicable in this game in any way?
I'm not sure, because the last four games, well, the three games really, the Boston College, Wake, and Clemson were just such a disaster that I think you could throw all of the rules out the window. I thought they played better last week. I think if it was someone besides Georgia Tech, I just have a vision of being completely inept. And you know me, one of my theories is everybody plays a Super Bowl. They already played their Super Bowl. So
against Virginia?
No, well, they fought in that game, but they beat Miami. So that was their Super Bowl.
Oh, true.
And then they have Georgia next week. So you figure if they're interested in fighting one more time this season, it's probably next week. I'm not saying they'll win next week. I'm just saying if they're going to fight again, it's probably against Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, 2 weeks ago, I was way more worried about this game for State because it seemed like, you know, Georgia Tech had put together something resembling a passing game. I've said on here a couple times, Caroline Darney, who you also know, was texting me in a panic. She's like, you said Georgia Tech couldn't pass. And I'm like, well, against anyone else, they can't. I didn't know if you thought maybe some of State's concerns in the defensive backfield could maybe creep up to bite them. I mean, I don't know. That's about all I can come up with to give Georgia Tech much of a chance in this game.
Well, the problem for NC State is they just keep turning the ball over. And I mean, in bad ways, the kickoff fumble at Wake Forest. Yeah, the guy made a nice play for Wake Forest. But I think for the most part, their turnovers have just been heinous and avoidable. And I think if you're NC State, you just tie your shoes tonight. You hang on to the ball. You know, I feel bad on my video preview. I was like, don't let Keon Lassane anywhere near the ball because he just seems to be dropping it like kryptonite, you know?
Oh, no.
And I think the kid will probably be pretty good in time, but it's just it just seems like every time he touches it, it's on the ground. And same with Devin Leary, you know? I mean, he's got to take better care of the ball. I think we're seeing why Matt McKay started the season as the quarterback.
Okay, I'm glad you're in this camp with me, because this is what I've been screaming to anyone who will listen to me from like State fans that were mad about this all year. Like, yes, I think we can absolutely see that. He did not turn the football over.
Yeah, and Lauren, I actually think Matt could play some tonight.
Ooh.
This actually feels like a little bit of a rock fight, you know? And if you're going to be in a rock fight and you know that and you're Dave Doran, then you might default to your first answer, right? And say, if Matt's not going to turn it over, that's better than Devin dropping back and just phantomly dropping the ball. Yes, Devin is a more talented passer than Matt, no doubt about that. But, you know, that talent only takes you so far if you can't do the basics.
Right. And especially now that there's something at stake for them, you know, like the bowl berth is potentially on the line. Like, you can't afford to mess around and like play for the future or whatever you want to call it. Like, you have to get the guy in there that's going to win you the game, or at least take care of the ball. Are you excited to see all of the references to ATL tonight that I'm guessing will be like present in the stadium with Jeff Collins being super excited about that?
Lauren, I think the last time I covered a football game here, I think you were here. I think it was 09 Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
Or 10 Carolina, either one. Yes. I can't remember which year it was, but I think it was 9.
And Atlanta is like Carolina's Wake Forest, like for NC State.
Yes.
So, except this year because Georgia Tech is just that bad. But yeah, like that's funny. That might be the last time. But yeah, certainly there were, Paul Johnson was nowhere near as excited about the ATL and all that goes with it. So, that's been something we've sort of talked about on this podcast all season is like Jeff Collins being a little bit, I think the kids would call it extra when it comes to that. Like, just, I mean,
you got to sell something though.
Totally.
I mean, what do you have to sell? I mean, I don't blame
totally. You. No, I get it. But yeah, I mean, you can't get much worse than what they did last week against Virginia Tech, which was just heinous. You mentioned heinous already with turnovers. That was pretty heinous. So they'll probably be better. But yeah, like you said, State just has to take care of it. And like, okay, can you remember covering a team that only had 5 turnovers by its opponents at this point in the year?
And none in ACC games. Not one.
That's wild. It's wild.
They've had a couple of interceptions where they've just pretty much dropped them, including last week. Yeah. Drake Thomas had one in his hands that I thought was going to end that dubious streak. But you know, if you don't get pressure on the quarterback, if you can't stop the run, you know, I mean, it all kind of adds up on you.
Yeah, no, that's true. I still maintain that if they don't get a turnover in this game, they're gonna turn Carolina over like 10 times or something crazy like that, just because like the law of averages would just dictate that.
No, I think the law that would kick in is if State lost to Georgia Tech and had absolutely nothing to play for next week. That's when you get the most when you expect the least, for sure. But
that's the law of the wolf.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if they're both 5-5. I just imagine Sam Howell throws for 600 yards and Carolina wins. I mean, I just don't think State's not in a position where they can trade paint with anybody. I think the 20 points against Louisville last week is a max, right? I mean, they had 24 at Boston College, but
Boston College is horrible defensively too, though.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad defensive teams in the ACC. And
a lot of bad offensive ones.
And NC State hasn't scored 28 points in a league game all year. So, should tell you something. Oof.
Yeah, and they can beat Georgia Tech not scoring that many, but Carolina, you're right, that's a different beast altogether. They just have to keep, if they keep Carolina in the, I don't know why I'm already previewing this game. If they keep Carolina in the red zone, like Carolina's been terrible there lately. So I guess that's their best hope. But yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, not much else to say about this game tonight. State should probably win, but you know, they might find a way to make it interesting as they did even against Syracuse that was playing terrible at the time too. So, that gets us into the Saturday games, though. Oh, the Fighting Hugh Freezes at Virginia. Is he still, he's coaching on the sidelines now?
I believe he's out of his hospital bed. Yes. What a strange.
Well, didn't he like move to a chair or something like on the sideline? Didn't he like some weird ergonomic, like, I don't know, but I think he's actually like coaching on the actual sidelines now. So I'm slightly disappointed that that's the case, but it is what it is.
The less I think about Liberty,
yeah,
the more I better off I am. So you've got me beat on that one.
Well, it was really just more the whole like Hugh Freeze spectacle of it all, which I just found to be preposterous. But yeah, Virginia pretty banged up defensively. I think the last I saw, they were down 6 defensive backs for the rest of the year. And that's part of why Georgia Tech did what it did. But I don't know that Liberty's going to put up much of a fight in this one. So I don't know. There's really not a whole lot to say there. They're just sort of dreading next week already in Virginia land when Virginia Tech
comes
to
town. But what else does Virginia need? I mean, they have a national championship in basketball. They have arguably, they're in the best position going forward in basketball with their coach. With Tony Bennett and his age, they have all these other non-revenue right. sports that win. It's like for a very long time, the only thing that kept Virginia humble was their crappy football program. And Bronco Mendenhall had to go and ruin that. So it's like, you know, so what if they lose to Virginia Tech for the 78th year in a row? It's good to keep you grounded a little bit.
Virginia fans actually let me know that they used to play that game on actual Thanksgiving, which like I can just imagine would just ruin so many people's Thanksgiving. If you're a diehard Virginia fan.
Well, yeah, I mean, And there's a lot of NC State, UNC in the Virginia Tech dynamic. You know, you have the elitist school and the state school and the one school that fancies itself a basketball school, which it obviously is now. And the other one that fancies itself a football school. So for the dominance, though, that's happened in that series, it is kind of unusual if you think about it. It's like a Georgia Tech on steroids.
Yeah, like after last year, I actually think about it a lot because the way that game played out just sort of led me to believe that there's no possible way in the universe that Virginia can win that game.
Yeah, last year was definitely the year. I feel like Virginia's like two or three skill players short of being the team that we all kind of wanted them to be this year in terms of, hey, wouldn't it be awesome if we had the coastal cycle and that the seventh different team in 7 years won that thing. I mean, I think we all kind of wanted that on the media side. But you know, the running backs aren't great. They have a couple good receivers, but nothing really great. And Bryce Perkins, I think is fine. You know, I think he's had about the year people expected. But he's still kind of a limited passer.
Yeah, I mean, I think his receivers have actually been low-key pretty good and helped him out and made some nice plays for him. But, like, he's got two of those that are really good, and then the running game, like you said, hasn't helped. So he's had to sort of be that. And, you know, now that their defense is banged up, that's where I look at it and go, oof, I just don't know how they're going to hold up against Virginia Tech's offense, which is, like, suddenly red hot. So, I have to ask you this because Caroline Darney, who I know you know, she posts the podcast, and she said she wanted me to ask you about Kihei Clark.
Do you have a whole other podcast for this? Because it might be required. Like, Cranky Joe, while he's watching a game, just makes observations. You know this. And I filter I usually make them in real life on Press Row. And in this particular instance, I knew nothing about the kid. And it turns out I was right because he was only recruited by Cal Davis. That was the only other school that had offered him.
Wow.
Correct?
That sounds right.
Yeah. I mean, so this kid played in front of everybody. And the only ACC coach who said, you know what, he's an ACC player, was Tony Bennett. And credit to Tony Bennett. You know what's funny, though? I said the same thing about Marcus Page when I saw him the first time at PNC. Remember that game against State, the ghost red uniforms for State? Now, and...
Oh, yeah.
Important side note here is just because you're not very good your freshman year, that doesn't mean you're not going to get any better. And I'm actually happy for the kid in the role that he obviously played last year in their national title. But also this year, you know, he's making the kind of progress you'd love to see out of a four-year player. So good for him. Cranky Joe, bad for Cranky Joe for pointing out the obvious on a, what was it, a Tuesday or a Sunday? I can't remember.
Yeah, it's something like, to be fair, I pointed out to Caroline and others that I know that are Virginia fans exactly what you just said, that like just sometimes you just make observations like that. And then, you know, also Caroline's had to fight against plenty in Virginia's own fan base that kind of felt the same way. And she's very much feeling validated right now, even within her own fan base, like the people that were complaining about Kihei getting playing time and things like that. So she's just taking a little bit of a victory lap, and that's cool. Like, she shouldn't savor it, enjoy it. You know, we all love being right. Yeah, exactly. We all love being right.
I'm all for it. No. I am.
All right. That gets us to Boston College, Notre Dame, 2:30 NBC. Oh, boy. I've been underwhelmed by Notre Dame, but they impressed me a lot last week. I mean, to beat Navy like that, I was pretty surprised. I didn't expect that. I thought it would be another one of those Navy type of games. It really wasn't. And they kind of dominated. So maybe they're not as meh as I kind of have thought they were. Maybe after they got steamrolled by Michigan. Boston College, I mean, we all know Boston College has got a walk on a quarterback. They've got a really good running game, but their defense is terrible. I don't know that I really see a path here for Boston College to push Notre Dame very much.
I feel like Brian Kelly is a angrier, better version of Dave Doran. When you mentioned the Navy result, when Dave Doran plays a team where he has better talent, he wins like 98% of the time, particularly when East Carolina is not the opponent. And I feel like it's probably the same for Notre Dame. Like, when they punch up, you know, below their weight class, they take care of teams. Their problems become when they try to play the elite teams. Obviously, Boston College is not an elite team. And I have a little skewed version of Boston College because I saw the best version of Boston College up in Chestnut Hill when they beat NC State 45-24. And I think both of their running backs are still running as we speak against the Wolfpack defense. but I think this is – if you're Boston College, you're pouring it out for this game. You had a week off. You're coming off a disappointing loss to Florida State on your home field, and you probably feel like you should – in a game, you feel like you – should have won. And Notre Dame's just kind of, what does Notre Dame have to play for? That's probably a separate podcast about Notre Dame and when they're ever going to join the ACC or will they ever join the ACC. But it's like, this is the time of the year when you want to play Notre Dame, when they're out of the playoff picture. They only have like this tangential, hey, you know, we could play Memphis in the Cotton Bowl if we win out, like big deal, you know, whereas Boston College is going into this game going, okay, this is it for us. This is our Super Bowl. So I wouldn't be surprised if Boston College covered that number. I think it was 19 or 18 the last time I saw it.
Yeah, it looks like 19 on ESPN. Yeah, that's a good point.
If you could swear, I could mention the number, right?
Yes. Oh, we talk about that stuff actually, like, because there have been some like over unders and lines that I just look at and I'm like, what? But that one seems about right. And yeah, I could see them covering that. They got to. You don't think they fire Addazio if they don't get to a bowl, right? Or do they?
I don't think so. I mean, I would think there's more of a danger. I'm not trying to tell any school to be happy with what you have, but you also have to be realistic about what get to replace it. And I think when you're Boston College and you're kind of in this 7-win rut, which I'm sure they would gladly take this year, Boston College, like NC State, like Wake Forest, like every school in the ACC, not named Miami and Clemson, you know, they had a senior heavy team last year. They had a bunch of pros on that team last year. And
yeah, they lost a lot.
You can't expect those schools to just run hot forever. And I get it. Boston College wanted to run hotter last year than 7-5 and probably should have. But
yeah, they should have.
You know, it's not unrealistic to think, hey, guys, there's a refractory period here. You have to be able to get back in the right mood to put your program in the best place.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I guess it shouldn't be a huge shock that their defense is what it is at this point. I don't know why Steve Addazio would want to take the Rutgers job. I don't know why almost anybody would, but I mean, who the heck knows? Ugh, God, that's a job I would never want to touch with a 10-foot pole. But I mean, if he sees like that he's sort of capped out at Boston College, maybe, I guess. I don't know.
Coaches know how to stay one step ahead of the jailer, and he would have a better idea of what his relationship is like with his AD. I'm not saying he's going to take the Rutgers job. You know, we saw this with Tom O'Brien when he left Boston College. It was kind of like, okay, you know, here's an opportunity. Obviously, NC State's a better job than Rutgers, but you know, who knows what people like. And what
all I know about their AD is that he watches Joe and I's panic rooms on WRLSportsFan.com because he told me that ACC kickoff. And I was like, oh, my God, I should probably be more careful what I say on these things if ADs are watching them. 3:30, Mercer, North Carolina. That's a Fox Sports Souther, even though ESPN always lists it as ACC Network Extra, which is something that, like, I know a lot of people have trouble getting, including myself half the time. Sometimes you play an FCS team that's kind of frisky and you go, ooh, that could be problematic. Mercer is not that team. Like, they are, I think, what were they in Bill Connolly's S&P Plus FCS rankings? They were like in the 70s. So like, they're not very good at all. They can score, but their defense is like one of the worst in FCS. So I've already chalked it up as a formality that North Carolina is going to hold up its end of the bowl this weekend.
Well, I think congratulations to North Carolina. It's November 21st, and this is the first uninteresting game they're actually going to play this season. I mean, that's spectacular, particularly when you contrast that with NC State, who hasn't played an interesting game yet. You know, they played an interesting half at West Virginia. But, you know, for the most part, there's been a real dichotomy between the two programs. And hopefully that means there will be an interesting game in Raleigh
I guess I wanted to ask you about this, though, because I know some State fans have expressed some consternation at their schedule and that, you know, they don't have the kind of, but like, if you look at Carolina's schedule versus NC State's, NC State's is designed to get to a bowl game. And they're, you know, that seems certainly a very doable thing for them at this point, whereas Carolina's was always going to be an uphill battle, even if they were good. I mean, which one would you rather have, right? Like, don't you kind of need to get to a bowl if you're, you know, one of these other types of ACC programs that you kind of need that, right?
I feel like with State, though, the issue is it's every year. But I think you have to give like 20% of that credit to the schedule. You know, those early games in particular, it's like, okay, yeah, that's a bear of a start for them. But those were all fascinating games, South Carolina. Wake Forest, like I've been waiting, you know, since the league expanded, I've been waiting for Duke and NC State to play a non-conference game and they can't figure it out. I love the way that the schedule was set up for them. And, you know, actually their problems weren't that gauntlet that they started the season with. It's been this, they've lost 3 of 4. The Virginia Tech game, they absolutely should have won. Virginia, Perkins played his best game of the year against them. And then Pittsburgh, you know, another overtime game. Pittsburgh without their best player. Like, your defense yeah. has to be better than that. Like, you can't let Pittsburgh max out on you that way. I mean, particularly without, you know, French. You know, you just can't do that. I mean, so to me, I expected them, after they lost to Clemson, I expected them... What did they have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 games. I expected them to go no worse than 5-2 in those games. And they probably would have run the table if they made a kick at Virginia Tech. And I said it at the time. I remember watching that game going, if Carolina wins this game, I bet you they win out. And I bet you Virginia Tech just folds up shop and closes down the factory for the year. And obviously, it went the other way. Carolina's lost 2 of 3 since, and Virginia Tech is hotter.
Yeah, no, you're right. That gets us to 3:30 ESPN2, Pitt at Virginia Tech. Big one in the Coastal. If this were at Pitt, I might be a little bit more intrigued because Pitt's defense is good. But like you said, their offense just isn't. It's just, I don't know why they played the way they did against North Carolina, partially North Carolina's defense, like you said, but also they were a little bit more competent than we're used to seeing from Pitt's offense. Like you said, Virginia Tech's red hot. I mean, there goes my email. Ever since they switched to Hendon Hooker, especially, like that's just been one of those in hindsight moves of like, why didn't you do that earlier? Although we've had Norm Wood on here before to talk about why they didn't make that switch earlier, and actually made some sense, because I was like, look, I've defended Dave Doran all year for sticking with Matt McKay as long as he did. I want to get perspective on why they didn't try Hendon Hooker earlier. And what his explanations made some sense. He had like never thrown a pass. He hadn't thrown many passes in high school and they weren't sure of him as a passer, but he seems to be more than capable as a passer. It's an intriguing matchup in that way, though, because this is probably the best defense they've faced since they've made that switch. Notre Dame right up there as well, right?
Yeah, and Virginia Tech, like I said, I was expecting them after that Duke game, because it seemed like there was some real discord there amongst the players and the coaching staff. You know, all the problems last year, it just seemed like it wasn't going to be fixed by Justin Fuente. So credit to him. I don't know if it was as simple as a quarterback change or if it was, you know, the total and complete embarrassment of that performance against Duke that finally got everybody's attention. But it's a credit to him that he's been able to turn that thing around without really, you know, a magic formula, if you will. I think he's a really good coach. And I do wonder if he might not jump to a different job with his services. Maybe
if they have like a really good. Yeah. If they have I mean, to me, they're the only team in the Coastal besides probably Miami that I would think could really push Clemson even a little bit. And that's, you know, it's all relative, right? I still think Clemson will crush whoever it is, but they're the only team I think that would give Clemson a whole lot of trouble. Well, not even a whole lot of trouble, just like any semblance of trouble whatsoever.
Clemson's in murder ball mode now. you know, Carolina's the one who had the chance and a heck of a chance at that. And ever since then, it's just been like, okay, we're not screwing around anymore. People always misremember 2016 about Kyle Bambard's missed kick. Clemson lost a game after that. So they did not get red hot after that. And usually it was a mulligan here and there that would spark Clemson, and obviously that Carolina performance, which you know probably should give Jay Bateman a lot of credit for. He did the same thing to Oklahoma last year when he was at West Point. So, but no, I do not expect – I fully expect Clemson, and they're off this week, so maybe we could talk about them for 2 seconds here. I fully expect them to pound South Carolina into oblivion and then do the same in the ACC championship game just to secure that third seed. I really don't think the committee wants to put Clemson and LSU or the SEC winner together in the opening round. I think they would like to split those two teams up, so I don't think they want to give the committee any reason to drop them out of that three spot.
Yeah, and I think that's – I don't see them getting above that at this point. I think they're probably fine with that. Honestly, they'd probably rather play that 2-3 game. I don't see how they drop either. So that's probably a pretty comfortable spot for them, and I will be pretty surprised if we don't see them in the title game yet again. But Ohio State's probably the likeliest to beat them, I think, but – we'll see. The Big Ten offenses are you and I are on this train together. The Big Ten offenses are just so bad. Like, Ohio State's very good, don't get me wrong, but like, they have multiple offenses that are like statistically worse than Duke's, right? I mean, so I'm not saying their defense isn't impressive. It is, but like, you're also going up against offenses that are limited. At least to this point, right?
It's a generalization, but the Big Ten does not have great skill players. And obviously, Ohio State is the exception there, and which is why I screamed off the top of my lungs during the draft last year, you're certainly welcome to think Daniel Jones isn't very good, but Dwayne Haskins played with like 8 other pros on offense against a bunch of slow, terrible skill players on defense in the Big Ten. So your view of his 51 touchdowns is skewed, while Daniel Jones was like throwing a Mop and Keon Lassane. Like, they, you know, he was playing with nobody. So, you know, it was hard for me to look at it and go, wow, look how great. And I feel like Ohio State's the same way this year. They're probably better on defense, and they're quite honestly probably better off without Urban Meyer and his not sideshow nonsense. But I think this is just an example of that. They just beat up their superior skill is just a gigantic margin, whereas I think you could at least argue in the ACC there are better skill players and that match up and give a little bit more resistance to Clemson's juggernaut.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. That gets us to Syracuse at Louisville. Not sure that Syracuse Duke game was super weird because like the statistics don't necessarily give away the final margin. Duke's just kind of that bad at this point, it seems like, but 49-6 was not what I was expecting at all. I was expecting that to be like a 0-0 tie candidate type of game, and it was not. I still think Louisville probably wins this one relatively easily, especially based on how explosive they are. And you know, State got a taste of that with Tutu Atwell and some of the big plays they can make there. It's hard to imagine Syracuse's defense having anything in the way of like slowing that down in any meaningful way, right? But Louisville's defense has issues of its own too.
Yeah, and I think, and I enjoy repeating myself, and I enjoy my theories and my rules, but everybody plays the Super Bowl, and Syracuse played theirs last week.
Interesting.
I think Louisville is going to pants them this week. I think Louisville is a pretty focused team. They've done a remarkable job when you consider the players on that team quit last year. And it's not like he cleared house and bought in like 30 new guys. It's the same group.
He just gave a crap about them, which, you know, was a change.
I was really impressed with the adjustments he made last week against NC State. I've been really impressed with the way he's been able to keep that team's focus through some, you know, not some great stretches for them. And obviously the Wake Forest, they beat Wake Forest at full strength, which was a great feather in their cap. I think Syracuse, you know, their offensive line is about as bad as I've ever seen in the ACC. And that includes that Wake team that averaged like -4 yards per rush. What was it? Clausen's second year, first year?
Yeah, 2014, I believe. Yeah, that was the 0-0 year.
Their offensive line is just so bad. Credit to Louisville and Scott Satterfield and our guy, Dwayne Ledford. I just think they've done a really good job getting that program back on track. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, the big knock on Satterfield as well. Can he recruit? Well, we're going to find out because he's a
heck of a coach. He really is. I loved the fake field goal call as well, because to me, like in that spot, it would have been easy to quote unquote take the points looking at you, Pat Narduzzi. But, you know, he didn't do that. And I think that that kind of stuff shows his like belief in his team and, you know, belief that they can pull that play off. And that's something you really like to see, I think. At least I do. I love to see coaches call
with
plays
the
like
eighth string kicker. Don't forget, that's not even his regular. Like, did you take that at all as a slight on Dave? Like, I kind of took that as a, oh, OK, you didn't want to play me when I was at app. That's how I kind of took that one.
Yeah, I guess kind of. But
you're saying it was more tactical than that.
Well, I think that I think he felt like with his defense being what it was, that they needed to sort of put the final nail in things, so to speak. And I guess maybe he thought that doing it that way would have been a better idea than going for it traditionally. But yeah, that was sort of my call on that. But maybe, I mean, I know he didn't like that they didn't play him at app. And look, to play app is asking for is asking for trouble, as we know. But I still like it when the locals do that. Because it's cool. It's a good test. And it helps me shut a lot of people up around here who complain when I say anything good about app, which annoys me.
you were on that. You were definitely on.
Well, I hate it. And it happens here, too, when either one of the teams is on a nice run. Like if State gets ranked or if Carolina wins the Coastal or if Duke wins it, it just becomes this thing of like, let's tear down everything. They haven't actually done anything. We actually have it way tougher than they do. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm just like, can we just enjoy something, please? Like, doesn't have to be this complicated. We have so little to enjoy around here in the way of good football. Like, can you just let us have this? It's fine.
Excellent life advice.
Oh God. I mean, look, we've been looking forward to the bowl now for like 3 weeks because we've had no other meaningful football to be played around here. So
it really has been a blah season, even by triangle football standards. If not for Carolina's interesting, every game is an overtime. Every game includes a 20-point comeback in the fourth quarter. You know, because Duke, man, that result was shocking last week, the way that they played against Syracuse. I was really kind of taken aback by what happened to them.
Well, we'll skip one ahead and go to them, too, because Duke sitting at 4-6, going to Wake. That's the ACC Network 7:30 game, because sure. and Wake's a little banged up, I know, but I don't know, man. Like, it's like you said, I didn't expect Duke to play like that. Their defense has kept them in games all year, but you know, you're asking a lot of that unit to just keep making up for their offense being unable to do almost literally anything. Wake's defense is one of the worst they've seen in a while, statistically speaking, but like, I don't know. I just don't know how we can trust that Duke offense to do almost literally anything at this point.
Yeah, I was trying to find Georgia Tech in the total offense yesterday. And they're at number 125. And then I was surprised to see Duke at 110. And again, these coastal teams, I don't see a lot of, particularly when they're not on state schedule that year. I had no idea they were struggling that mightily on the offensive end this year. I know they've had a difficult schedule, and I'm sure they've had some injuries and some other problems. But you know, my memory of Duke this year is that win over Virginia Tech. And Luke Tkach and I always joke about watching the NFL Films version of the season. And, you know, the old, well, when they win the opener, it's, you know, you glorify the win. And then you just kind of go, you know, yada, 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 the final 11 games and say they'll be back next year with optimism and confidence. And so to me, the NFL Films version of Duke's season just kind of stopped at Virginia in Blacksburg with the fake punt and kind of sticking it to Fuente.
Yeah, man. Like, it's just, I don't know. He's going to have to make some tough decisions next year, I think, or in the offseason, Cutcliffe is, because whatever they're doing offensively is not working, just to say the least. And like, they're doing stuff that has not been done since before Cut got there in a bad way, like in terms of taking 30-point losses and things like that. It's just, it's not good. It's not good at all. And I mean, you know, you want to think that Duke has like some last gasp, because if they get one more win, they'll make a bowl because they'll get that exemption. They're like second, I think, in APR. So they'll get that exemption if they can win one more game. But I just don't see where that win is.
Well, I think Wake is so banged up at this point. And I'm also a big believer when a team really puts it on you the way Wake did last year to Duke, that gets your attention. That kind of, that's one of those that, you know, you kind of go back and say, yeah, we kind of owe them one a little bit here. And I think I actually went into this season thinking Duke was going to win that game for that reason. Obviously, the circumstances have changed. But I also think Wake's in a little bit of trouble, too, with what just they have available to them. I mean, I don't know. I have respect for both of these coaches, ultimate respect for both of these coaches. So there's no advantage there. So it's almost like, well, what can you – who's going to make more plays? And you probably need to side with Jamie Newman on that. But – I don't know. This one feels like Duke's last gasp to me. I'd be surprised
if
they didn't fight.
This is a kitchen sink game, I feel like. Yeah. Like, Cuddy needs to – I don't know if Cuddy needs to step in and call more plays or if he's already doing that and we just don't know it. I mean, who knows? But at this point, he needs to empty the bag of tricks, I think. Maybe run some more of that option that was working pretty well earlier in the year with Quentin Harris. Oh,
and this is a Mack Brown Cup game too for Clawson.
Oh yes. So if they win it, do they get it?
App State's trying to horn in on the action. I guess if I had a Carolina's plural version, the Jerry Richardson, you know, version, it would definitely be App State, but I just don't think they've played enough games.
Like, did they win it? They won it last year too, as well, right? So.
Oh yeah. They're Clawson's. You know, he's on one of those Grobe like rolls against in-state.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, Carolina's first win in forever against an in-state team was that nail biter against Duke, and in hindsight, that maybe should have given me a little bit more concern for Carolina's defense because, like, we've seen Duke's offense since, and it has been real bad, and they were able to putting up 20 on them and probably should have been more was maybe a little bit of cause for concern for Carolina's defense. If they've got one more kitchen sink game left in them, because I feel like Carolina was a little bit of that for them too, then this will be the one for sure. And Cuddy's been in a bad, bad mood, and maybe he'll be happier on Saturday night, but it's kind of tough to see. So.
And now I remember why I picked Duke to win this game. Clawson hasn't won a game after losing to Clemson. Since he's been at least. He's 0-6 or 0-5. Whatever.
See, I was going to mention that too. And like I talked about with Grace Rayner last week from The Athletic, who covers Clemson, about like sort of the different approaches people take against Clemson, where some people will empty the kitchen sink like North Carolina did. Some teams maybe that are a little banged up will, you know, pull back at least a little bit because they're not going to trot guys out there that are a little banged up knowing they're going to lose that game, or maybe they'll pull guys earlier than they would have. But I do think Clawson wanted to use that game a little bit as a measuring stick for where his program was at. And, you know, if you frame it that way with your guys, like, that's just kind of tough to bounce right back the next week and be like, cool, we're exactly where we need to be. It maybe is a little bit of a tougher sell.
It would have been nice to have seen Wake Forest at full strength, not only against Clemson, but against Virginia Tech. And, you know, now they're in a situation where.
For sure.
You know, can they beat Duke? Can they? They should be able to beat Syracuse, but you know, 8-4 is still a really good year. But you just have to wonder if it shouldn't have been 10-2, and probably would have been 10-2 if they had remained healthy.
Yeah, and maybe they get that Louisville game back as well. You know, because that was a close one. So,
and they were healthy for that game. Yeah, and but I was factoring in one hiccup for them in that 10-2 record. So.
Yeah, that's true. Well, maybe.
But like you said, in triangle and Big Four standards, 8-4 is not a bad year.
Yeah.
it's a pretty good year.
Yeah. And I was going to say, of the teams that have, you know, they're definitely up there in terms of entertaining to watch as well with the offense they run. And they're an entertaining watch at least. So they've got that going for them. Whereas Duke and State have been a little bit tougher on the eyes than Carolina and Wake. A little bit.
That was a nice way of putting
it. Yeah, well, I'm trying. Now we go backwards a little bit. This is the last game we'll get to. Miami at the Fighting Butch Davises. Because sure, play that on the road. Although I guess it's not as much a road game since it's also in Miami. Although Miami isn't technically really in Miami either. So Miami going to play their old flame, Butch Davis. FIU 5-5. I thought they'd be a little better this year. They haven't looked very good. But I mean, look, Miami's more talented than them, even if Butch has, you know, some Florida guys that probably wish Miami had offered them and whatever. But they just got blown out by Lane Kiffin and company. I don't know, man. And they got, ooh, they took a 50-17 loss at Middleton. Okay, that's real bad, Butch. What are you doing?
FIU's taking a step back this year. I think they probably thought they were going to be better. And that's hard.
You know, and it's hard, but this will be the game that obviously has their attention. This is a game
they'll be interested in playing. I suspect they'll play their best game of the year against them. What that gets them, I'm not quite sure. Miami is absolutely the second best team in the ACC. They're the second most talented team in the ACC.
But interesting. I wasn't sure how you felt about them. Yeah,
but they're not the second best coach team in the ACC. That Carolina loss was directly a result of coaching failure, coaching malpractice. The Virginia Tech game was probably one they I mean, Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech, fine. I give you one mulligan, but maybe even two, but Carolina, Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech, like that's just, bad.
Yeah, they should have won at least two of those for sure. Yeah.
And it's their offensive line is not very good. That being said, they should win out. They should beat FIU. They should beat Duke. And I actually think they'll be the default choice for the Orange Bowl.
Really?
Unless Virginia Tech gets ranked, which
I was surprised that they didn't get ranked this week, honestly. I was a little surprised by that.
Yeah, I was too. And maybe they, if they win out, you figure they'll be 24, 25. And will they stay there, though, after losing to Clemson is the question. Just a part of me thinks they'll somehow work it out that Minnesota will be the team. They'll be ecstatic. The Orange Bowl will be ecstatic to get Minnesota, sell all the tickets Minnesota fans. And then just what's the easiest possible thing to do then? Just put Miami in there at 8-4 at that point. Did they deserve it? Probably not, but you know, they would.
Oh, and Virginia Tech fans would lose their minds.
How the whole business works. Obviously, if Minnesota is the opponent in the Orange Bowl, then the ACC would then have a spot in the Citrus Bowl in Orlando, and that's a great bowl too. So I think you're kind of, it's a New Year's Day bowl. I mean, look, that's a potato at that point. So the ACC's got a lot of good choices and not a lot of good teams this year. It's one of those years.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true. And yeah, I mean, I guess Virginia Tech could sneak into the rankings if they beat Pitt. Because the thing is, Miami doesn't have anybody really left on the schedule to impress people enough to sneak in there, I wouldn't think, if they're not in there already.
And but that's how it will work, is it'll become the league's choice and the Orange Bowl's choice if there's not a second team ranked.
Oh.
So, yeah.
I see what you're saying. Okay, so even if Virginia Tech sneaks in there after like beating Pitt and Virginia to end the year, then maybe they lose to Clemson and drop. Yeah, that'll be interesting to watch for sure. Because I could see them still, you know, sort of hanging on. But to me, it's like if the college football playoff people weren't watching the way Virginia Tech's been playing lately and saying like, wow, you know, I know that they lost these earlier games, but like we got to look at what they're doing now since they changed quarterbacks, then they're probably not paying that close of attention to Virginia Tech, which is whatever. I mean, you know, can't really blame them, I guess, but.
Well, they would be 9-3. So I think you're right. I think they would end up being in that ranking going into the ACC championship game. It's just a matter of if they really get salted by Clemson, are they really going to stay in there? And that's where
if they don't get in there, if they beat Pitt and don't sneak in there, then yeah, I think that you'll probably be right and that they'll fall out for sure. And then it would be Miami. All right. Well, I'm going to let you go because I know you're at your hotel in Atlanta, and I really appreciate you doing this because I know that you follow the rest of the league relatively closely, and it's always good to get your perspective on things. So, all right. Have fun tonight in the ATL.
Thank you, Lauren. Thanks for having me.
Hanging out with shirtless Alex here. What happened to your shirt? Did you throw it? It's okay. You don't have to get it. I just wanted to know what happened to it. You want to pick some games?
Yes.
NC State or Georgia Tech?
Georgia Tech. I want to hug Georgia Tech.
Wow. They won't need a hug if they win that game. Liberty or Virginia?
Liberty.
Oh,
no. I want to hug Liberty.
You're going to need to hug Caroline if that happens. Boston College or Notre Dame?
Notre Dame.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mercer or...
I want to hug Notre Dame.
Mercer or UNC?
I want to hug Notre Dame.
Okay, you can hug Notre Dame. Mercer or UNC?
UNC. I want to hug UNC.
That'll make Daddy happy. Pitt or Virginia Tech?
Virginia Tech.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
I want to hug Virginia Tech.
Why do you want to hug everybody? Just because you're nice?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Syracuse or Louisville?
Louisville. I want to hug Louisville.
Yeah, they could use one. They're very nice this year. Miami or FIU?
FIU.
Is that because you like Butch Davis?
Daddy likes Butch Davis.
I know Daddy likes Butch Davis. Duke or Wake? Last one.
Wake.
Yeah.
I want to hug Wake.
Duke really needs the hug, but that's nice. Okay, buddy, you want to say bye?
Bye.
Say bye.
Bye. Bye.